This is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
Welcome, everyone, to Friday, the Friday edition of, and the BBS and K-Star Radio Network edition of Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline, and what a pleasure it is to be home to home base Spouting Off. I wake up with these little ideas, I do. And it's sometimes I don't even want to wake up with them, but they do. Does that happen to you? Do you end up thinking about things and, oh, for me, I just got to write them down? I love movie references because it's a shared experience of movies. And I discovered a movie that I didn't know existed before the Andy Griffith Show. Because, you know, I was just a little kid, probably about the same age, maybe, I don't know, a little younger, I guess, I don't know, of Opie Taylor, Richie Cunningham, whatever his name is. Yes, I forget his name, redheaded kid, who also turned out to be a liberal, just like Andy Griffith. You know, they did this wonderful great values, old-fashioned 60s television, and they were both liberals, just like everyone else. I'll think of his name. Anyway, before Andy Griffith did the Andy Griffith Show, he did a movie called A Face in the Crowd. And it was occurring to me, and I'll tell you what that is in a minute, because I'd seen it finally just a couple years ago, didn't even know. And apparently, the Andy Griffith Show completely changed the trajectory of Andy Griffith's career, and he forever became known as Andy Griffith from the Andy Griffith Show, that sweet-natured country bumpkin sheriff with the goofy, completely bumbling deputy Barney Fife, and that's who we knew. Now, I never really cared for the show, but when I look at any portion of it today, it breaks my heart because I see just how different American values have become now. You know, remember that show? Andy was always trying to teach his kid morals and values. Now, Hollywood puts out this claptrap that elevates the very worst nature of all of us, elevates the bad guys and implicates the good guys. Nevertheless, before Andy Griffith did the Andy Griffith Show, he did this film, which was quite the hit, called A Face in the Crowd. It was with Patricia Neal, as a matter of fact. And he again played a country bumpkin, but this time he was kind of like an everyman philosopher type who she encountered. Patricia Neal was a city media person who kind of made him into a star. His name was Lonesome Rhodes. That's, I think, what she named him, Lonesome Rhodes. And Lonesome Rhodes was a, I wouldn't say manufactured, but Patricia Neal, the character, turned him into a star, into a TV star, radio star, whatever, because I think it was television, in which Lonesome Rhodes put out all of this great philosophical truisms, and he became hugely popular. But also what happened to Lonesome Rhodes is that he became very, very full of himself and conceited. It all went to his head, and he became angry, hostile, and, you know, just downright evil. Patricia Neal watched this happen, and she began to feel as if she had created a monster, that she was responsible for creating this character. Now, one of the things that made him evil is that he really had hatred and and contempt for his audience. He didn't start out that way, but because of he became a prima donna and it all went to his head, he really hated his public, even though he was acting and making believe that he loved them. So the public believed it too. The public believed that Lonesome Rhodes really did love them, care about them, and want the best for them, and they would listen to what he said, interestingly enough. And so Patricia Neal figured out that because she did care about the public and her audience and the audience that she had created this monster for, she decided, I have to do something about this. I can't continue to contribute to this guy who has absolutely lost his mind. And so she left the microphone on one day, and the entire country got to see who Lonesome Rhodes really was. He was exposed. And so that thought that I had when I woke up in the morning is I just was thinking about all the things going on in this country today, from the travesty and the debacle of Afghanistan that's going on right now, the disgrace of leaving American citizens to either fend for themselves or get crushed by the Taliban, taking the side of the Taliban, the United States of America, walking out with our tails between our legs and leaving weaponry to the Taliban to come back and harm us. I mean, I could go on, and I do. That's why I'm a talk show host. It, without the experience of Lonesome Rhodes, the people who have claimed to care about us have been starting to be exposed for who they really are. But it wouldn't it be nice to expose them to the entire country as quickly as possible? Because are you talking to people in your sphere of influence who are saying, you know, they just want what's best for us, and I think it's really good for everybody to get vaccinated, even though people who are vaccinated are getting sick at a higher rate than almost anyone else. I'm reading this constantly about these vaccines that are not what people think they are. I don't know what's in them. I don't know. But what is spreading like a virus is this tyrannical opinion that the government can force and tell us what to do with our own bodies. Wait a minute. From the same people who claimed my body, my choice. I got to say that. And our body integrity means nothing to them. We are forced to do whatever they say. Wait a second. I think the United States of America was created to prevent that kind of tyranny. By God. And here we are watching it right now. And to add insult to injury, they're doing it, telling us, just like a lot of other authoritarians have said, it's for your own good. It's for your own good. Do it because we said so. Never mind the people at the helm are mentally defective, corrupt, caught in all kinds of scandals, proven to be the lowest of the low, the least competent of us all, but they're the ones who have appointed themselves Lord and Master over the rest of us. My goodness, how could it be so obvious? Wouldn't it be nice, however, if we had a Lonesome Road moment when some of these people like Fauci, who clearly is doing business with the communist Chinese, he took our tax dollars were used to create a weapon against us, it appears, gain of function research. Why is it necessary to research bioweapons that can kill people, especially the most vulnerable amongst us? And then people like Andrew Cuomo use that bioweapon and thousands of elderly people in New York, and not just in New York, die. What is the purpose for creating bioweapons in the first place? If you believe that this is for our own good, well, I've got some oceanfront property in Wyoming to sell you. So what we need is a Lonesome Roads moment to expose these people when they don't know they're being recorded so we can find out what they're really up to. Does that mean everybody has evil intent? No, of course not. No, it doesn't. What it does mean is that something quite sinister is going on here. And it is up to us to try and determine not only what it is, but whether this is good for the country or bad for the country. Everybody has a choice to at least decide for themselves. And that was the idea that I came up with. And we're almost ready for a break. I don't know if I have time for about 50 other ideas. One of them is there's only one reason to mask children, and that's to show them who's boss. There's only one reason to mask children, and that's to show them who's boss. And it's the government, apparently, that wants children to know that they are the boss. Here's another quick one. How desperate do these people need to be to continue to inject this drug into the bloodstreams of everyone without waiting for the very government authority to which they constantly point to say that it's no longer an emergency experimental drug? Well, they're not waiting. That's the point. I just finished 2 hours with the Power Hour radio show just a few seconds before, talking about the fact that the approval of this drug really isn't approval after all. Gee, go figure. They're getting approval for something entirely different. I don't know. My eyes glaze over. I don't know about you. My eyes glaze over. But is there reason to be concerned and suspicious? You better believe there is. So we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have a guest to continue this conversation. My good and not so old friend, Martina Cartwright, Dr. Virologist, lots of things. She has lots and lots of training, and we're going to talk to her after this commercial break. Dr. Martina Cartwright will join us here on Spouting Off with Karen Cataline right after this.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Welcome back to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. And if you'd like to write me, follow me, call me. Obviously, I haven't been effective enough because I haven't been censored yet, but, you know, I'm working on it. All you got to do is go to Karen at KarenCataline.com and you can write me there, or go to my website. I have a new piece up. I'm always writing. Love to have you on my newsletter list so you can get the craziness rantings of yours truly. And here to talk about the issues of the day, and boy, oh boy, it's like drinking from a fire hose, is my old friend, but I hate to call her old because she's lots younger than I am, my old friend and writer of the foreword to my book, Fat Lash, Food Police, and the Fear of Thin. Her name is Dr. Martina Cartwright, and she's an internationally known scientist, speaker, president of and CEO of Beacon Science Biomedical Consulting, and has been, I don't think she is at the moment, an adjunct faculty member at the University of Arizona. She has a long, stellar career in nutrition and more. Welcome, Martina. I got to call you Martina. I'm not going to call you Dr. Cartwright. Martina, to the program, to Spouting Off here so you can spout off with us.
Thank you, Karen. It's a pleasure to be here, as always.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you. It's been a while.
It has been quite a while.
Yeah, so let's start, if we could, with Afghanistan. What we are watching, I mean, what you've done in your life is to help people, nutrition, education, consulting, and here, did you ever think you would live to see a time in which not only the United States of America as a policy doesn't stand up for freedom protesters in Cuba against a communist government, something we thought America would always do, but walks away with its tail between its legs in Afghanistan and leaves all our weaponry to our enemy? Did you ever think you'd see that?
I never thought I would. It is so shameful. And I have to say, this is reminiscent of 20 years ago. Right before 9/11, I was working for a large pharmaceutical company, and we were working on an infectious disease platform. After 9/11 happened, my life changed radically because I started working with a number of physicians that were involved in special operations and bioterrorism preparedness. And we had run a number of scenarios that were possible to, you know, essentially damage the U.S. population through some type of bioterrorism act. And in those scenarios, you know, there was always concern about poor leadership. What could lead to another 9/11? And I think we're unfortunately living that right now with the lack of leadership, direction, and frankly, the lack of morality and honor amongst the current administration.
You said it. And I have taken to calling the following term the whomevers. I don't think there's anybody who's watching the news in any fashion whatsoever who thinks this shell of a man who wasn't very bright to begin with is calling the shots here. So it's only that much scarier to ask yourself, and of course we can speculate, and I'm going to ask you to speculate, who's really in charge here? Because this is contrary not only to what Biden campaigned on, he didn't really campaign, he was sitting in his basement, it's contrary to everything America has stood for most of its existence, and yet we are siding with our enemies and walking away. Who do you think is calling the shots, the whomevers? And, well, let's start there.
Well, I think to speculate, who has the most interest in destroying America? And I would put on top of that list individuals like George Soros and their ilk that are involved in this sort of elitist takeover of America in the sense of taking over the government. So I don't want to be misconstrued here. I think there is someone behind Biden. I think their main objective is to make America socialistic for their own personal gain. And we're starting to see that manifest in a number of things, including, you know, the vaccine mandates, the masking, the confusion of who's in charge of which aspects of the government. The lack of direction in Afghanistan. Who stands to benefit from that except the elitists that want to destroy the country?
Who benefits? Exactly right. Right. Yeah. I call it the Obama 2.0 on steroids administration, because all of the same people who we were suspicious of back then are back calling the shots, and we didn't know who exactly was calling the shots then. We know that Soros, when he was younger, and now it's his sons doing this, was visiting the White House and Obama numerous times. But I don't think he's the only one. I always wonder, you know, if some of these factions will eventually attack each other. And I'm hoping when, you know, when they start.
Well, and there's a lot of dissension within the Democrat Party itself, and frankly, the Republican Party as well, because you look at 50% of the U.S. population that is voted for Trump and is supportive of Trump's policies. They may not have liked him as a person, but they supported what he stood for, which was for America first. Then we had 50% of the population that voted this schmo into office, supposedly. I think they're starting to realize that he is a shell of a man, but elections have consequences, and decision-making or lack thereof also has consequences. So I think that's leaving us with, well, what do we do next? What action can we take to try and improve things here, to not focus so much on what they're trying to focus on? I think what Biden did the other day was probably the most shameful thing he's ever done, which is to come out and give a speech about giving more money away and then give to Afghanistan. I think that really showed his true colors right there.
Well, and look at Pelosi. I mean, this is like
must
a
I?
Cartoon. What?
I said, must what? I look at her?
Must I? Look at Pelosi celebrating Women's Day and women. We have to keep paying lip service to our stupid little petty agendas. And look at the women being pressed into sexual slavery or being murdered, all of them, anyone, in Afghanistan. It's stunning, as if they are putting forth an alternative universe, which I've been saying for a long time that they are. They're living in an alternative. They want us to live in it, that's for sure. I don't think they are.
Well, and I think to your point earlier, who's in charge and who has to benefit and what's going on here?
Yeah.
Look at the overall big picture. It's kind of like scolding a child who's naughty. What do they try to do? They try to distract. I didn't do it. It wasn't me. It was somebody else. Or look at all the good things I've done today, but, you know, I've done this one bad thing. I see this from the so-called leadership in the Democrat Party. It's divert attention. Divert attention. Yeah, we may have lost 13 people or more in Afghanistan, but, you know, we're getting more people vaccinated. We're in control over your money, and we're going to give you more handouts. It's this distraction technique that I think people are finally starting to wake up. At least I hope so.
Boy, from your mouth to God's ears, because I hope so too. People ask me all the time, so, okay, so they wake up. Then what? What do you think?
Well, and I think that is really where we need to have a plan for ourselves and for our loved ones and for like-minded thinkers, in the sense of, what do we do? We're looking for that one thing of, okay, we recognize we're awake. And I know that people have been calling for the impeachment of Biden. I think that's the wrong strategy, frankly.
I'm so glad you said that. I just put out a piece about that very thing. It's not only wrong, it's falling right into their trap.
It is. And even if he resigns or they use the 25th Amendment to get him out of there, then we're stuck with Harris, who is probably far worse.
They won't have to. And you know what? I personally don't think there's a dime's worth of difference. Biden hasn't been in control. What difference does it make who's sitting there? And Kamala Harris wouldn't be in control either. The point is that now they would claim that she has some sort of mandate and all of that. But the truth is, the same lockstep leftists would be in charge either way. At least right now, it is exposed and more obvious that Biden is not in control. As soon as they put supposedly Harris in control, it'll appear as if she is. She's not.
I agree. And I think, again, it's playing into their hands. They wanted this all along. They wanted prove Biden a fool, I believe. Mm-hmm. They've certainly done that, regardless of the consequences for the American people. He's just a straw man that's up there. Somebody else is running the show, and that's exactly what they wanted. It's frightening. It's frightening because
it is.
People are wondering, what can we do next, looking for that solution. And I have to give kudos to Mark Levin. I've read his book, American Marxism, and it's excellent at outlining certain attributes of what's going on and to have a plan moving forward because, frankly, as a social worker, you know, this is very much like learned helplessness.
Yes, it is. Quite true.
So I think the key take-home message of all of this, though, is it's never the government that bails you out. It's your people. Whether you're in a foxhole somewhere, you're in the middle of nowhere in Afghanistan and Kandahar, it's not the government that saves you. It's your people that save you. And we learned that from Benghazi. Don't expect the government to rescue you. It has to be your own people.
Right. In our couple minutes left, after we have to take a short break, and then we're going to dive right into, are you ready? Nobody ever talks about this. Corona. And you have a lot to say about that, so I hope everybody will stay tuned. Did Levin say anything that I mean, I want to get the book for sure. Is there a takeaway that you can share with us about what Levin said in American Marxism as to the best solution for people whose eyes are open but are a little catatonic at the moment?
Yes. Find like-minded people. He talked about forming your own local grassroots coalition to run for local offices, such as school board, and then start canceling your American Express. He didn't specifically state certain companies except for Twitter and Facebook.
And Coca-Cola and Delta Airlines and Bank of America. Yeah.
Right.
I get it.
Right.
I get it. We're talking to Dr. Martina Cartwright, and from the very beginning when I was doing Talk Radio, when I first started, I think you were my very first guest. You're a dear friend. Doesn't matter how long it is before, when, how long it's been since we've talked, it's as if we talked last week. And so she's a sound for sore ears, Dr. Martina Cartwright. We're going to take a short break, and we'll talk about Corona when we get back. Stay tuned.
Looking for even more great conservative talk radio? The K-Star Talk Radio Network is a Christian-owned, alternative conservative news and talk radio internet broadcasting network. They have a full line of programming about spiritual, political, social, economic, financial, and health-related topics. And their goal is to encourage critical thinking about the issues of the day. The K-Star Talk Radio Network features great shows like America's First News, The Keith Hansen Show, Erskine, and Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. Check out the whole schedule at their website at kstarradionetwork.com. Time could be short for a free people to share ideas in a free society. K-Star Radio Network is fighting a spiritual war on an earthly plane. Visit them today at KstarRadioNetwork.com.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. It's a Friday. Thank God it's Friday, right? And it's been a long week of radio for me, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend yourself. Got to say those things now so that when we always get crunched at the end, and I also got to, look, I have a whole half an hour left. Thank Doug, everyone at BBS Radio who makes the show possible. We're talking to my friend and really smart lady, Dr. Martina Cartwright. She is a scientist, speaker, president, and CEO of Beacon Science Biomedical Consulting, a former adjunct faculty member at the University of Arizona, and she wrote the foreword to my book, Fat Lash, Food Police, and the Fear of Thin. You can contact her at Martina at martinacartwright.com. She still has a website, martinacartwright.com. That's an easy one. So, doctor, the insanity of coronavirus. I just talked to someone right before I went on to air 2 hours ago that he has coronavirus and he works from home. He was helping me with a insurance question. And I called him right back and I said, so did you get vaccinated? He said, yeah, fully vaccinated, double vaccinated. And I got coronavirus. Oh my, can you help us make sense of all of this confusion from the drugs getting approved, emergency approval, to all of it? How does a unsuspecting person, which we both aren't unsuspecting, make sense of all of this now after almost 20 months?
So we really have to go back to the beginning. And what I mean by that is a little refresher on what coronaviruses are, and then this mRNA vaccine in a nutshell. So coronaviruses have been studied since the 1960s, and a few of them have been known to, quote, jump from animal to human. Not that many, but a few. Most of the time, they're harmless. There are some strains that are responsible for about a third of the common cold. But everybody may recall back in 2002, we had a more serious form of it called severe acute respiratory syndrome, or SARS. And then in 2012, we had another novel strain that was called MERS, Middle East Respiratory Syndrome. So they were all in that same category. And now we have COVID. So traditionally, vaccines like for polio or for measles, mumps, and rubella come from a attenuated or dead virus. And that's how people get vaccinated. Same goes with the flu. Mm-hmm. In the case of Moderna and Pfizer, those vaccines are mRNA, messenger RNA-based vaccines. So if you go back to before COVID started and the whole interest in mRNA-based vaccines, these were under clinical testing. They were not FDA approved in animals, with very few studies conducted in humans. Frankly, they were started to treat cancer, but as they started to look at these for infectious diseases, they were testing them in a number of animal models, so mice, non-human primates, and the like. Mm-hmm. So for me as a scientist, I go back and look at the literature of what do we know about mRNA vaccines before COVID hit and before the vaccines were developed. And there's a 2019 paper that was published in a medical journal that says that mRNA clinical trials, vaccines for infectious diseases, are still in their early stage. In other words, we don't have a lot of clinical or human data to support them. We think in theory that they will work. Now, you asked the question of why in the world would somebody who got double vaccinated end up with coronavirus? A lot of it may have to do when that individual had been vaccinated. So Jesse Jackson and his wife both have coronavirus. They were both vaccinated in January, and it seems like they have between a 6 and 8 month efficacy. In other words, after that point in time, their ability to fight off the disease or prevent it diminishes. So I believe with Pfizer, it's about 43% efficacy after 6 months, and Moderna is a little bit higher, but Moderna is associated with a higher rate of side effects amongst women. So back to your question, why would somebody get COVID after being vaccinated? It has to do with the duration of time. And if we look at the medical studies that were conducted primarily in 2018 and 2019 that were published, they talk about this concern of instability and low immunogenicity. In other words, a lower rate of being able to fight off disease that one has been vaccinated for.
Can I just, good. You were done with that, right?
Yes.
I mean, there, Martina, so many people have told me and various guests that I've had on the radio that this is not a vaccine. It is not like your polio vaccine, like your Jonas Salk, whatever. Just because they call it a vaccine doesn't make it one. From what I have continued to be told, it has something more to do with gene therapy. And I always ask, well, why do my genes need therapy? I don't understand what they're trying to impose on our genes. And of course, the $68,000 question is, why are they forcing it on us? Why are they persecuting people if they don't take it? Why are they threatening people that they can't shop for groceries if they don't do as they're told? We'll get to that in a minute. But as a scientist, please do tell me, is it really a vaccine? And if it's not, what is it?
So when you talk about vaccines in the traditional sense, it's that attenuated or dead virus that's administered.
Yes.
So it's your body recognizes it as foreign and strikes antibodies against it. It's a recognition thing. They call this a, quote, vaccine, but I think that's in a gray area. So if one looks at the medical literature, historically, it is a formulation of an mRNA vaccine. So messenger RNA, the idea is it goes into your own cells, hijacks the machinery there, and starts making an immune response. So what's interesting about the articles is that they do compare whether or not you get injected in your muscle, in your skin, or underneath your skin subcutaneously, and how that compares for infectious disease response. And
that's the first time I've heard that. Where you get the vaccine will determine something? Is that true?
Yes. So it has to do with the delivery route. And I'm citing a paper from 2019 that was published in Frontiers in Immunology. Zhang, believe it or not, it was a Chinese author, and colleagues have an excellent article called Advances in mRNA Vaccines for Infectious Disease, where they outline how these are proposed to work and cite it very well with other medical literature to support what they're saying. But in a nutshell, what they determine is that the response varies based on where the injection takes place. Now, I'm sure in the development of the vaccines, quote, vaccines that are available, they used this same literature to develop their products. But what we don't know and what we don't have enough information about is how long do they last? And that is my concern. Having gotten several drugs through the FDA, it is a long and arduous process where they require at least 2 years worth of data. We certainly don't have that related to these products. We don't have 2 years of data in human beings regarding safety and efficacy. Even though they are approved, I would say that they did not go through the same approval process that other drugs do, in the sense of the data that is collected over a period of time, because that period of time has not passed, if that makes sense.
It does. And what also is that what also keeps coming to mind is, how is it possible for so many bureaucrats, number one, none of them doctors, to be so adamant about pushing something on others with the idea that this is for your own good and this is going to protect you and this is going to protect everybody, when all evidence shows that not only is it not protecting people, but it's dangerous. It's I'm reading that it's creating the Delta variant, for which there is no test. So how do they know it's the Delta variant? And it is not so good for you. The worse, the more bad it is for people, very bad grammar, the more they keep pushing and pushing it on us. So what's going on there?
And I think there are several points to consider here. Recall that they used to think that Big Pharma was the evildoer in everything. They were the great Satan of industry, and now it's their best friend. So that's one thing that concerns me. Secondly, if I were to say that a drug I'm working on right now is safe and effective before it had been approved, I would be sanctioned by the FDA, and I would get a warning letter and a cease and desist and probably a fine. Mm-hmm. Yet this has gone out there without a year's worth of data. That is required in order to collect side effects and caution people. Thirdly, it creates a false sense of security. As you pointed out so well, Karen, many people that have been double vaccinated are getting, quote, these breakthrough infections.
More so than people who haven't been, who built up their own immunities because maybe they already had coronavirus. But still, the government is bullying, intimidating, persecuting people. We'll get to that after, too. But from a purely scientific standpoint, something nefarious is going on here. As a scientist, do you believe that, or is that just hooey?
Well, I look at the body of evidence, and that's what has to be considered. And I don't think that we're really applying scientific theory in a whole for these data. If this were anything else, people would start to question it more broadly. In other words, why would people who have had coronavirus, such as myself, why get vaccinated if you've already had the disease and your body would elicit an antibody response?
And they ignore that. They simply ignore the evidence and push it anyway.
And the other thing is, let's say that somebody catches the flu one year and they're exposed to a different strain of flu. They may catch that second strain of flu. That's entirely possible because it's a little bit different. Your body doesn't quite recognize it as well.
Right.
The weird thing I will say about this whole coronavirus thing is
Can you hold that thought? The weird thing? Don't forget what you're going to say.
Yes. I'll remember the weird thing.
I don't want to interrupt you, and we have to take those wonderful breaks that we have to take. Right, Martina?
That's right.
All right. Because you've filled in for me before, haven't you? Yes, you have.
Yes, ma'am.
We may just have to have you do that again. If you're up for it, if you're open, if your schedule permits. Thank you for holding on. Thank you for the generosity of your time. I know how busy you are. We're talking to my friend and really smart lady, Dr. Martina Cartwright. Hold on. Stay tuned. We got one more segment with her. And then we'll wrap up the show right after this. You're listening to Spouting Off here on the BBS Radio Network and K-Star Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. Boy, it's fun to spout off. And if you haven't known before why I think Spouting Off is such a cool title, people think it's negative, but really it's positive because it is not censoring yourself. A lot of the fear and intimidation factor that we are seeing today is designed to make you shut up and to follow suit and to march in goose step with everyone else. Certainly not the America that we know and love, we grew up with, and the America that we hope to preserve for the next generation. So, speak up loud and clear, and if people disagree, let them disagree. That's what we do here. on Spouting Off exercise our not only our First Amendment rights, but the spirit of the First Amendment. And that is what is so important. So far, I haven't been censored or ripped off the social media platforms, but I talked to an awful lot of people who have. One who still has a website is my friend, Dr. Martina Cartwright. She's a nutritionist, and this is such a fascinating conversation. You can contact her or visit her website at martinacartwright.com. Or, like my website, her first name, Martina, at martinacartwright.com. So, thank you for staying with us, Martina. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me stay.
And
in addition, my background is in nutrition, but I trained as a biochemist. And so people are often asking me, well, how did you get into the field of infectious diseases? And I said, you trained as a chemist. And you apply it in a variety of different scientific platforms. And as you can tell from the last segment, one of my passions is trying to understand and apply scientific theory to what's going on today with coronavirus and infectious diseases. And
yes,
we left off with that one weird thing. And that weird thing is for people to consider. Yes.
Right.
So if you have the flu, Karen, you know you have the flu, right? Because if you have the flu, you experience symptoms. If you have a cold, you have cold symptoms. If you had SARS, you probably had symptoms of SARS. If you had MERS, you probably had symptoms of MERS. What strikes me as unusual about coronavirus is that if you have it, you're not necessarily symptomatic, but yet it can be transmitted. So kind
has
of
that
like
been proven
has,
that it can be transmitted?
It can be transmitted, yes, even in individuals that are asymptomatic.
Okay, because I thought that was a rumor along with so many other of the confusions and lies around this virus. I thought that they found out, oh, you know what, they can't.
It has a lot to do with something called viral load. So in other words, if somebody is asymptomatic, but they have quite a bit of virus in their fluids and they sneeze or cough and somebody is susceptible, in theory, it could be transmitted.
Okay. I'm sorry for getting you off the track. You were saying the one weird thing is that you can have it but have no symptoms of it. Is that right?
Right. Right. So you'll test positive, but you don't have any symptoms or they're very mild. And to me, that's somewhat unusual and more akin to other viral infections such as hepatitis. You may be a carrier for hepatitis, but not have any overt symptoms of hepatitis. You may have HIV, but not have any overt symptoms of HIV until somebody takes a blood test and said, oh, you're HIV positive.
Yeah, but in this case, can we really trust the tests? Look, I'm not trusting anything at this point, Martina. And my question, and again, don't forget what you were going to say, but I heard that a kiwi fruit tested positive. I heard that a can of Coca-Cola, couldn't happen to a better thing, also tested positive. So how do we really even know that?
Well, and that's the thing, is where it gets in a gray area. So, for example, I had all the symptoms of coronavirus back in January of 2020. All of them. All of them. My antibodies were tested soon after, and they were negative. But they said you were probably positive. So as with any scientific test, there's going to be false positives and false negatives. That's common. And until you perfect the test, many times things that have been reported may not necessarily be accurate. And I'm sure we've all experienced that in a routine blood test for, you know, let's say potassium or something like that. People say, oh, you tested high for potassium, and it turns out the blood sample sat on the shelf too long. So my point is, and to your point, how do we trust the data? It's coming out so fast and furious, oftentimes not in peer-reviewed journals, which doesn't mean a lot, frankly, in some cases, because some of the data that are published are, frankly, a little bit sloppy or haphazard. So it's hard to know who and what to trust. But if we apply the same knowledge that we know about other viruses to this one, we have to ask ourselves as scientists to look at the body of evidence and what makes sense and what does not make sense. So that's where I think we're missing the boat here. Because you've got, as you pointed out earlier, a bunch of non-scientists dictating to people, you have to wear a mask. You have to wear a mask inside your own house. You have to wear a mask outside. All of this is ridiculous. Look what they did in Oregon as a perfect example. You have to wear a mask outside.
Mm-hmm. It's reasonable to conclude, since we're sort of wrapping up, it's reasonable to conclude that it never was about the virus, was it? It never was about the virus. It was about obedience and subjugation to tyranny. Where am I wrong?
I think that this was very I've never seen something so polarizing and politically motivated as this virus. Had they done it the right way, they wouldn't continue to lecture people about, it's kind of like Biden saying, anybody in Afghanistan who wants to get out, we'll get you out. Yeah. Anybody who wants the vaccine can go get it. People have made
like
the choice
Baghdad
that they don't
Bob.
Want it.
Yeah, like Baghdad Bob. There are no Americans in Iraq. I mean, we're
right.
being told things that are so blatantly wrong, false in every way. You know, one of my mottos, falsus in uno, falsus in omnibus. If they're false in one thing, don't keep believing them. In our couple minutes left, sorry to have interrupted you. I am so sorry. What would you leave us with, scientist Martina Cartwright? What would you leave us with that, going forward? Because, you know, we're under attack right now. Our liberties are under attack. A virus is being used to scare people to death. And now people in France, and it's coming here, are being told that if you don't do what we say and put this chemical in your body, you can't go grocery shopping.
Here's what I would say. Coronavirus is a virus that can have severe consequences for some people. Not everybody, as we've seen by the data. Each individual has to make their own judgment. Companies may mandate that you get vaccinated, so you have a choice to make whether or not you're going to stay or you're going to go or you're going to fight it. Everyone needs to make an educated decision. There's information out there that may or may not be true. There's a lot of rumors and innuendo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to know what to believe, but I would leave you with this.
Hurry.
People have the right to make their own individual decisions.
Absolutely.
And truly, if people are vaccinated and they believe in the vaccine, then why are they afraid of somebody who isn't vaccinated?
Touche. I'm going to have to leave it there, Martina. I wish we could continue on that one, but we'll have you back as we always do. Thank you so much for joining us. We so appreciate it. That about does it for us here on Spouting Off. Have a wonderful weekend. You can listen to Spouting Off Tuesdays, Thursdays out of Nashua, New Hampshire, Fridays right here on the BBS Radio Network. Thanks to everyone at BBS Radio. Have a marvelous weekend and stay strong.